The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, come on in. It has been an amazing week. There's so much going on, and it just, at every second, seems to add to it. President Trump and Theresa May holding a joint news conference at Buckinghamshire in the UK, and so much is being made of tension and bad blood, because that's what everybody always does. Partially, it's understandable because Trump comes in and throws some sharp elbows. He speaks some valuable truths. And in a world that has been so numbed, we've had the tranquilizer dart in our necks for so long of diplomatic doublespeak and don't say anything that upsets anybody. That's how tyrants and tin horns thrive. That's how bad policies never go unaddressed. But just as President Trump made NATO stronger in about 48 hours, I think he's going to make Theresa May smarter in about 24, because Brexit was Britain's exit, British exit, get it, from the European Union, and those noxious regulations and that bad connection between that hogtied Great Britain, the United Kingdom, to the EU, the European Union. The British voted to get out of that thing. They said, we want out. Theresa May, God love her, wants to come out really slowly and leave some of the regulatory leashes on. And President Trump said, it's not what your people voted for. You did it wrong. And he's right. Our alliance is destroyed. The planet is spinning wildly out of its orbit. No, 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 no. The planet is fine. We are fine. We're still in America. We're still in Texas. Trump still won. Kavanaugh is going to be on the Supreme Court. It's summer and it's Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not. So good. I got you.
I know the big deal off Kansas' left overture is Carry On Wayward Son, but there's this.
Well, you told me that I was just not the one, and you left me standing out in the cold. It's been a long time, and I'm so much better now that I'm looking back and seeing
what's on my mind. Can I get to the hook? Can a guy get to the hook? All together now. All together now in a song that five of you have heard. Come on, everybody. What are you, uptight or something? Just go get Left Overture, because, of course, Carry On Wayward Son is on there. But doggone it, man. What's on my mind? Miracles Out of Nowhere. Questions of My Childhood. Magnum Opus. You will dork out on the greatness of Steve Walsh and Robbie Steinhardt and Carrie Livgren and the Boys of Kansas. All right. Look, so we've got the Strzok hearings, but happening right here, right now, President Trump and Theresa May. Let's duck in and listen real quick, because they're doing this like now. It is early afternoon over in Britain, sun splashed day. Is this before they go in for tea with the Queen? President Trump and tea with the Queen. That's just so quintuple awesome. How's that going to go? The answer is, it's going to go great. What does the Queen think of Trump? We'll never know because, first of all, here's the thing. If she loves him, she's not going to be overly effusive and fulsome in her praise, because that's not queenly. If she just can't stand him, she is not going to be so rude and caustic as to reveal that, because that would not be queenly. I don't know. I really, really don't know. The overall British, not a fan. They loved Obama. Piers Morgan makes me crazy sometimes, but he's very smart and very sharp on some other. He's an idiot on guns, and on most other things, he's pretty smart. And Martha McCallum had burned about two segments with Piers Morgan. I guess, is she over there too? Is everybody in London? Hannity's in London. And Piers said, look, in a UK that is in a Brexit kind of mood, it seems like the UK has seen the ill effects of overregulation, inattention to borders, just all kinds of things. And it seems like they are awakening in a kind of a Trumpian way, but they don't even really know it. And so Piers Morgan's point was to give Trump a chance, not just in America, but on the world stage. Now, I'll tell you what let's do. Fred, sit tight, because I'm going to come to you in a minute. But this is going on right now. A couple of Trump and Theresa May moments. And then the whole notion of, if you're just joining us, this is your beginning of your listening today. The whole Peter Strzok congressional hearing dog and pony show yesterday. Understanding it and figuring out what your conclusion should be. And that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'll tell you what I think. And if you think I'm nuts, call me. If you think I'm dead right, then, you know, hooray. Call me anyway. Whatever. I don't care what you call me. Just call me. It comes down to Mr. Strzok's assertion that you can hate somebody's guts and still treat them fairly as an investigator. Is that possible? Let me phrase it a little more clinically. Is it possible to have a really low regard for someone? Is it possible to hold someone in very near contempt and yet wall that off and treat them fairly as a cop, prosecutor, investigator, etc.? Is that possible? Of course it is. Did Peter Strzok do it? No. No one believes that. Well, my mistake. Plenty of people believe that because they have to believe that, because he has to be a hero. He has to be a patriot. He hates Trump. It makes him a good guy to the never Trump hatred cult. So what you're left with any remaining tatters of objectivity, is taking a look at the degree of his virulent hatred, his willingness to burn it out in 50,000 texts on an FBI phone, on FBI time. This is the MO of the hater. And people who hate with that kind of seething intensity cannot keep it out of every vestige of their work. And as such, I don't think any objective person can believe that he was the squeaky, clean, objective Boy Scout that he purported to be. You know, having gone down this paragraph for a couple of minutes, let me go ahead and hop to Denton and talk to Fred. I have President Trump and Theresa May digitally frozen in time. So you're not going to miss anything. So sit tight a second. And in Denton, we're going to come to you there, Fred. How are you, sir? Welcome.
Morning, Mark. How you doing?
I am good. Thank you.
Couple notes on Mr. Strzok. As a federal employee myself with a top secret clearance, I can virtually guarantee that he has a top secret clearance, and having a clearance and having an affair at the same time is a really good way to lose your job.
Yeah.
Lose your clearance, lose your job. And so he's representing, you know, infidelity while he's holding a clearance in that position. It's a note on his personal character that he's liable to break rules and break down. So.
Well, it shows, it's kind of funny because you have the Gohmert moment of looking into your wife's eyes, and boy, that dug like a dagger. It was not a ridiculous point. I don't know if it was a useful point. Yours is actually a better point, and that is that if you're willing to allow yourself that kind of dalliance, it shows that not every one of your synapses is firing in terms of making yourself as immune as possible to compromise.
But it's actually in the regs. Hold that clearance,
yep.
And if you have an affair, you're violating the principles of your clearance. That's a good way for somebody to come back at you and say, okay, if you don't give us the information we want, we're going to tell your wife you're cheating on her.
Yeah, that's or spouse, never good.
Whatever the case
never
may be.
Never
so
good.
It's very clear. For us mere mortals, that's a really good way to lose your job.
Mere mortals.
The other thing is, we're also taught annually, after we go through training every year, that even the mere appearance of something, it's certainly illegal, but even unethical, and or in this case, I would think it's very unethical. Like I said, it doesn't even have to be illegal. The appearance of something like that is to be avoided. So he could lose his job based on that as well.
Fred, thank you. Coming from you and your track record and your resume, that means an enormous amount. Thanks. And this is what John Ratcliffe got to. And I've got let's do some Trump and Theresa May, then the Ratcliffe Q&A and a bunch more of your calls. Senator Cornyn is going to join us for some Judge Kavanaugh update and some other Senate stuff. That'll be at 9:20, about 1 hour from right now. But here is the thing. If you're sitting here thinking, I got to be a mind reader, I'd have to be a mind reader to know if Strzok is telling the truth. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you are trying to evaluate, really fairly and objectively evaluate whether he was able to keep his Trump hatred out of his job, every time he sent a text about his Trump hatred, every time he did that, that was bringing his Trump hatred onto the job. Every time he did it on an FBI phone, that was bringing his Trump hatred onto the job. Every time he did it on FBI time, that was bringing his Trump hatred into the job. The dalliance with Ms. Page is evidence that he didn't have his mind sufficiently on the sanctity of the job and what it required, showing that he is not the pillar of unfettered virtue, the dogged shining light, the exemplary poster boy for doing things by the book that he wants you to believe that he is. No. And so as you're sitting there watching this thinking, well, I don't really like this guy. He strikes me as a weasel. You know, okay, that's your gut. But open your eyes and open your ears, and what you see are words and behaviors that are of the type that show a wanton disregard for the rules of his job and the borderlines between personal conduct, personal opinions. All day yesterday, people said, hey, people are entitled to their personal opinions, their biases, if you will. Everybody's got biases of a certain type. Of course they do. And the job, the obligation is to keep it out of your job. Is it possible to keep it out of your job? Yes. Did this guy do it? No. Okay, President Trump and British Prime Minister Theresa May.
Deals around the world. And as you've heard from the president, the United States is keen for us. We're keen to work with them.
Oh, by the way, they're getting along famously now. Every headline, oh, Trump has insulted her. I can't believe what he did. If you should have seen Twitter last night, oh, just when I think I could stand the sight of the guy, he goes over and talks to Theresa May and insults her and beats her down and, blah, blah, blah. You'd think he dropped a B word on her or something. And so here's this morning in the bright, shining sunshine of Buckinghamshire. And they are getting along like old high school chums.
And we will do a trade deal with them and with others around the rest of the world. Mr. President, would you like to select a...
Jonathan Swan, go ahead.
Give the reporters a microphone.
Jonathan Swan from Axios. Mr. President, two questions, if I may. The first one, now your British trip is coming to a close. Could you tell us the three or four things you hope to achieve in your meeting with Vladimir Putin? And the second question, what's the benefit to America of having tens of thousands of American troops stationed in Europe? Thank you.
Good question.
So I'll be meeting with President Putin on Monday. We go into the meeting with a tremendous meeting that we had with NATO. Most of you have reported it correctly. It was certainly it was testy at the beginning, but at the end, everybody came together and they agreed to do what they should do and actually what they've committed to do, which you fully adhered to. You didn't have a problem, but some people did. And
it's talking about Prime Minister May. Oh, something else happens on Monday, too. Of course, our show together. Guess what else happens in the world of guess what's coming off the TV box? Chris Wallace has scored an exclusive interview with Putin. Oh, look at there.
We left that meeting, I think, probably more unified and wealthier as a group than ever before. So we go in strong. We'll be talking to President Putin about a number of things. Ukraine. We'll be talking about Syria. We'll be talking about other parts of the Middle East. I will be talking about nuclear proliferation because we are massively, you know what we've been doing. We've been modernizing and fixing and buying, and it's just a devastating technology. And they likewise are doing a lot. And it's a very, very bad policy. We have no choice, but we are massively big, and they are very big. And I'll be talking about nuclear proliferation. That would be a great thing if we could do. Now, it's not only us. It's not only Russia and the United States. It's other countries also. But we're the two leaders. We would be the leader. They would be second. I guess China would be third. I think we'll all be talking about that. I think that would be a tremendous achievement if we could do something on nuclear proliferation. And we'll be talking about other things. I know you'll ask, will we be talking about meddling? And I will absolutely bring that up. I don't think you'll have any, I did it, you got me. There won't be a Perry Mason here, I don't think, but you never know what happens, right? But I will absolutely, firmly ask the question. And hopefully we'll have a very good relationship with Russia. I think having, and the Prime Minister would agree, if we have a good relationship with Russia and with China and with other countries, that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
All righty, we'll pause, come back with a little more Trump and Prime Minister May, some more of your calls, more of my thoughts rattling around. It's a Friday. We're hanging out. It's 8:24. What's not to love? 866-660-5759, 660 AM, The Answer. It's 8:30. Got some more Trump and May. Some more audio from yesterday's fireworks at the Strzok hearing. And more of your and Sarah Palin on Good Morning America this morning answering the ambush performed on her by Sacha Baron Cohen. That show of his, Who is America? It debuts like at midnight on Sunday or something, and I'll probably watch it so you don't have to. The reason I do that is, like, well, Mark, well, you know, if you object to something, because I got to know what everything is. If I'm going to be talking not just about what something is in the culture or what something is politically or what something is socially, is it any good? Is it terrible as well? Or does it have merit but so despicable that that merit doesn't matter? I got to see stuff so that I can know what I'm talking about. All righty. So I'm going to talk about some more stuff right after the news. And that would be right now. It's 8:31. In for Gordon this week has been Nikki Whaley. Good grief. The technology is taking over. That is Hal, open the pod bay doors. Oh, my gosh. 50th anniversary of 2001 this year. Did you see that when you were a kid? That's a mind trip. I never did acid, but that's about as close as I got. I think I was 10 years old in the theater for 2001. Daisy, Daisy. When Keira DeLay is the astronaut, when Dave, my mind is going. It's a genius piece of filmmaking. It's kind of funny. I thought space movie, and I was so dorked out, obviously, on space and space movies and this and that and us and such that it's like, yeah, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Woo. So I go in, though, and there are monkeys that are clubbing things. That was dudes in monkey suits, right? Okay. And we didn't have Andy Serkis, technically attached to all that motion capture stuff, because that's an actual human actor doing the Planet of the Apes reboot stuff now. And those are very good movies, by the way. So then you have actual stuff going on in space. The Discovery, that big, long, very cool spaceship. And then, of course, the space station that is doing artificial gravity by spinning on its axis, playing the Blue Danube in the Gain Ballet Suite. I mean, it was I was 10. It's like, okay, this is cool, but, you know, like, where are the aliens? It was very cerebral, and then by the time you get to the end of this thing, brah! And so I do respect it, but that was something. We have an album released 50 years ago this week, by a band that a ton of you really love and I'm just kind of okay with, so I play their stuff every once in a while. It's an appreciable catalog. There's talent there, but it just, I don't know why, it just kind of went right by my wheelhouse a little bit. But y'all love them, and so I'm going to do that here in a minute. Okay, 866-660-5759. President Trump and Prime Minister May.
Ben Jonathan. Okay.
Oh, he had asked about the effectiveness of troops.
Yeah, the troops where, though? Where? Well, look, there is a benefit. There's a psychological benefit, and there's a military benefit. There's also a benefit not to do it. I mean, I was prepared to do things that would have been somewhat harsh yesterday. A lot of people were surprised that NATO all came together at the end. But and it wasn't a threat. I mean, it was just an unfair situation. The United States was paying, you know, anywhere from 70 to 90, and I choose 90, depending on the way you want to calculate. We were paying 90% of the cost of NATO, and NATO is really there for Europe much more so than us. It helps Europe, no matter what our military people or your military people say, helps Europe more than it helps us. That being said, it is a great unifier. You know, we have 29 countries, and there was a lot of love in that room. So I think and we have a lot more than, you know, Jonathan, when you say 10,000 troops, we have a lot more than 10,000 troops.
Tens of thousands.
How much?
Tens of thousands.
Oh, tens of. I thought you said 10,000, because in Germany we have 52,000 troops, and we have a lot of troops in Europe. That being said, we're helping Europe. They're helping us. We're all together, and I'm fine with it.
All right, let's intersperse some Trump and Prime Minister May with some callers and me. Hey, thanks, Mr. Internet, I guess. We're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Tony, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I am doing great, Mark, thanks.
Pleasure to have you.
Hey, I've got a question regarding the relationship, if you will, between Strzok and Page, and not for the, you know, the
tawdry purpose
of it, but I'm talking about from the security aspect of it.
Yeah.
When did the FBI know about it? Did they ask him about it? Was he asked, and did he tell the truth about it? Did he ever lie, if you will, to the FBI?
He says no. He says no. The answer to the first question is, I'm guessing the FBI learned about it and Mueller learned about it the moment it all became public. In other words, they learned about it about when we did. Were there some behind closed doors conversations about that? I'm guessing there were. Did he come clean about it? It appears that he did. Did Mueller remove him from the investigation because of that? Probably not, but more likely because of the appearance of impropriety through bias. I'm intrigued by your question because, listen, political bias is a terrible thing to have going on to reveal,
right,
when you're in the middle of an investigation. A surreptitious relationship is a downright dangerous thing to have going on when you're in a high security environment.
Well, absolutely, and that was the whole point of the question. I mean, he himself, I would think, would be a tremendous target for a foreign national.
I know, and that's why he's not the Boy Scout. That's why it was no sale. It was no sale all day, Tony. Thank you. Best to everybody in the Hoosier State. I have my feelings. I have my biases. I have my political inklings. But at no point did that affect my judgment in the dispatch of my job. He displayed horrible professional judgment, not just horrible political hatred, horrible professional judgment all the time. And so that erodes mightily the ability to believe that Peter Strzok is one of those folks, and they totally exist. They're all around us. They're cops, prosecutors, federal investigators, all around us every day, who are doing magnificent jobs keeping their personal feelings out of their work. Is it doable? Of course it is. Is it even common? Yes, it is. Did Peter Strzok do it? No.
Thank you.
And by the way, very importantly, they're now paying their way in a much more rapid fashion. Yes.
Thank you. Francis.
Francis Elliott, The Times. Prime Minister, I wonder whether you agree with the President of the United States that immigration has damaged the cultural fabric of Europe and...
Yeah, buddy.
President, perhaps you could elaborate on that remark. What do you mean by that?
All right, I don't even know how this is going to go. We're captured in time, or we're living it in real time ourselves. Before she even begins, Theresa May is a good woman. She's a neat lady, a smart lady. She has been a good. She ain't Margaret Thatcher, but then nobody is, right? She is beset by the European leader disease. And the European leader disease that affects Macron in France, Angela Merkel in Germany, not so much Italy. I got to tell you, if you're planning on going to Europe, it is not your grandfather's Germany. It's not your dad's trip to Paris. It's not even my trip to Paris. I went to Paris a couple of times. Boodle-doo, I love Paris. I just don't know right now, man. These places are overrun by Muslim populations, the vast majority of whom are just lovely people who just want to go live in Paris. But Jewish folks are bolting out of Paris left, right, up and down, making the whole aliyah to Israel because when then producer Jeff Williams and I went to Jerusalem 2003, all right, we were in these, it was great, it was like a Star Trek term, absorption centers. You are going to the absorption center. What it means is this was the place where you would go no matter where you've come from. America, France, Ethiopia, met a lot of Ethiopians. It was to help them absorb into Israeli life because Israel is the homeland of all the earth's Jews. You want to go, you can go. And they will help set you up. They're not going to put you on a welfare state forever. That's us. What they will do is they will immerse you. You will absorb Israeli culture. You will have 5 hours a day, 5 days a week of Hebrew instruction. And it was great. So we're sitting around among people from all over the country, including America. But there is a French couple, and they said, we are scared to death. We have never seen anti-Semitism on the streets of Paris. And what you have is with unfettered waves of Muslim immigration across all of Europe, you're going to get huge changes in the culture. You're going to get a huge influx of people, some, I'll always emphasize, some of whom, I'm not even talking about the ones who will kill you, the global jihadists, the people spreading the caliphate by the sword. That's one thing. But there are also just some folks coming in who really just don't like Jews. And some folks coming in who really just don't, you know, they want to kind of create sort of the Middle Eastern bubble around themselves. While they're living in Paris or Munich or London or something like that. It is not your dad's or granddad's Europe. How does Italy remain, if not immune, largely impervious to this? Because Italy has an identity that is stronger and firmer and more unanimous than or more pervasive than some of these other countries. Diversity is wonderful. America as the place where everybody comes and we all, you know, listen, we welcome people of all types and stripes and ethnicities and creeds. And you can come here and stay here and work here, follow our laws, and we're good with you. Some of you can even become citizens. That's great. It's what's made America great. In a lot of Western Europe, and especially Scandinavia, which is very pleasant, very cool, Finland, Iceland, Norway, Sweden, they just do not care. Borders, what's that? I don't know about the borders. And they're being overrun. They're flat out being overrun. Why isn't Italy? You know why? Because everybody's Italian and everybody's Catholic and everybody knows it. So the notion of, you know, the ability to get a foothold for Islamic culture or anything from innocent Islamic culture to a global jihad or anything in between, not going to happen in Rome, not going to happen in Florence, not going to happen in Portofino, Napoli, Firenze, not going to happen. So, long setup to the question, in England, where it totally is happening, British reporter asks Theresa May, is immigration out of control in our country?
You want me to go first?
I think it's been very bad for Europe.
That may be awesome. He asked the Prime Minister, and Theresa May turns, would you like that one first?
Europe is a place I know very well, and I think that what has happened is very tough. It's a very tough situation. I mean, you see the same terror attacks that I do. We see them a lot. We just left some incredible young men and women at Sandhurst, and They were showing us cells, and they were showing us things that, frankly, 20 years ago, nobody even thought about, probably a lot more recently than that, nobody even thought about. I just think it's changing the culture. I think it's a very negative thing for Europe. I think it's very negative. I think having in Germany, and I have a great relationship with Angela Merkel, great relationship of Germany, but I think that's very much hurt Germany. I think it's very much hurt other parts of Europe. And I know it's politically not necessarily correct to say that, but I'll say it, and I'll say it loud. And I think they better watch themselves, because you are changing culture. You are changing a lot of things. You're changing security. Look at what's happening. I mean, you take a look. I mean, look at what's happening to different countries that never had difficulty, never had problems.
London, Madrid, Nice, France, some parts of Scandinavia, Stockholm, right? And he's completely right. Boy, are they just going to go to the next question? Is Theresa May even going to touch this?
Sad situation. It's very unfortunate, but I do not think it's good for Europe, and I don't think it's good for our country. We're, as you know, far superior to anything that's happened before, but we have very bad immigration laws, and we're doing incredibly well, considering the fact that we virtually don't have immigration laws. We have laws that are so bad, I don't even call them laws.
Right, let me pause. Let me get the final break in. Is she even going to get this question? It's quite all right. Let's just move on to the next question, shall we? I think the president dealt with that one just fine. Yes. Hello. 8:51, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer. The Australian boys of Jet under the British crown. It'll get what you need. All right, what I need now is to answer the question for you. This may take a little bit now and then right after the news. And Senator John Cornyn joins us for a Kavanaugh confirmation update at 9:20. But so the president finished. The question was, has unfettered immigration harmed the UK or Europe? And President Trump went off on a 2-minute riff on, the culture is different. Security is different. Inattention to who's coming to the country is a bad thing. Madam Prime Minister.
The UK has a proud history of welcoming people who are fleeing persecution to our country. We have a proud history of welcoming people who want to come to our country to contribute to our economy and contribute to our society. Mm-hmm. And over the years, overall immigration has been good for the UK. It's brought people with different backgrounds, different outlooks here to the UK, and and we've seen them contributing to our society and to our economy.
All right.
Of course, what is important is that we have control of our borders. What is important is that we have a set of rules that enables us to determine who comes into our country. And, of course, that is what, as a government, we have been doing for a number of years and will be able to continue to do in the future.
Yeah, guess what? No. Both you, ma'am, in the UK and over in Germany and in France, you've been willfully blind. You have sacrificed the safety of your citizens on the altar of political correctness. It has to stop. Every single country in Europe needs a Trump. They just don't know it yet. 8:58.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.